Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday
Always
evening.
Good here on Sunday nights.
The best place to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now, you know, this time of year, it's getting dark early and...
Yeah.
But we're here with the light of the gospel.
Amen, brother. There you go. That's the message.
That's good.
Yeah. That's what we need to hear in our culture.
Boy, that's for sure.
Instead of all this gloom and doom stuff.
Boy, that's for sure. Wow.
Yeah.
It's, the darkness is getting pretty thick. It's kind of like that ninth plague in Egypt. You know, it's pretty soon you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face. And
yeah, I know.
Oof. But anyway, we're not talking about that tonight.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we're going to go back to some cool Paul stuff. I really like him.
He's got a lot of stuff.
He does.
Yeah.
And during the multiple rehearsals we've had this week.
Oh, many. Many.
Oh. Many. I mean, hours per day.
Yeah. Well, I'm exhausted from us.
Seconds per day.
I hope I don't fall asleep during the show. No, I'm only joking.
Yeah.
Didn't we have a guest that was going to be on and he fell asleep?
What's that?
Didn't we have a guest that was going to be on but they fell asleep?
Yeah. Then he never made it in.
Yeah. Well.
Well, that's okay.
That's a different story.
He still takes a lot of kidding about that.
We're not going to mention their name.
No. I'm sure he's not listening.
probably sleeping.
Yeah. Kind of late for him to be up.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
Anyway.
All right, let's get serious.
Enough of this frivolity.
Oh,
so we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5.
We're going to Galatia?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wow.
No, Galatia's in current-day Turkey. I'm a little worried about going there now.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, let's just read about it from the New Testament.
Yeah, that's probably be a lot safer.
Yeah, let's just do that.
You know, I think about that area a lot. And to think in that whole area you had the seven churches of the Revelation.
Yeah.
It was a center of Christianity.
Yeah.
And then... When Islam spread through the whole area, it became Muslim and has been. I mean, there's a percentage of Christians, but, and the same thing happened in North Africa and in Syria. You know, you had centers of Christianity.
Right.
In Alexandria and in Antioch and, but anyway, and interestingly, when there were Muslim forces occupying Spain and Greece, neither of those areas had any significant number of people converting to Islam. But
right.
In North Africa and the Middle East, it was completely different. But that's not what we're talking about either.
No.
But Galatians, the city of Galatia was, in fact, in what is current-day Turkey, and it's near the seven churches of the Revelation. And at this time, of course, it was a Roman province. And the whole book of Galatians is very interesting. It kind of parallels Romans. And just to say just a brief word about the background is Paul is writing to these churches because he is countering teaching that's coming in from what are commonly called the Judaizers. And what happened here was there were Gentile people who came to faith in Jesus as their Messiah.
Right.
And then there were Jewish people there who some lived there, some were passing through, who also pointed out that they were believers in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. And we're really happy that you Gentiles over here are now following Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah. But there's a few more things you have to do before you can really follow Jesus. And that is
some add-ons.
You have, a huge add-on. You have to also do the Mosaic Law.
Ooh.
And, here's some of the laws. And so you can imagine this group of Gentiles who has recently come to faith in Jesus suddenly being confronted by these teachers who say, well, if you really want to follow Jesus, you also have to follow the law of Moses. Yeah. And here's the laws. And you go, well, wait a minute. You know, when Paul was here, he told us this news about Jesus and the cross and his death, resurrection, and we're like really excited about that. And,
right.
And now you want us to go back and do all this other stuff. And the whole book of Galatians is Paul confronting this. And, you know, he starts out in the first chapter, like you always like to quote, you know, I can't believe how fast you guys have gone over to another gospel. Yeah. I mean, I was just here and now you guys are already talking about some other kind of gospel that's not a gospel at all.
Right.
And you're following some other kind of Jesus that's not Jesus at all. And you foolish Galatians, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And when he gets to chapter 3 and he talks about, you know, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, you started off in the spirit, and now some of you want to go back to the law.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, so how did salvation come to you? Did it come through grace? Did it come through the spirit? Or did it come through the law?
Yeah.
And of course, it didn't come through the law. They didn't even know what the law was.
Right.
But now they're talking about, well, maybe we have to go back and do the law.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the setting for the whole book.
Yeah. It's, you know, it kind of parallels a lot. It kind of parallels a lot that when you're, you know, we do a lot of teaching. You do a lot of teaching with small groups and Bible studies and teaching about the Old Testament, how it's prefigured, how the New Testament, how what's revealed in the New Testament through Jesus Christ is prefigured in the Old Testament. And what's mm-hmm. in the Old Testament is already foreshadowed in the New.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that's pretty evident is that if somebody doesn't have a good foundation of the promise of God in that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer and the Holy Spirit is the Sanctifier, and that the Holy Spirit has come because Jesus ascended into heaven, and now the Holy Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus taught us, and he leads us in all truth.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a firm grasp of that, a firm foundation of that, you tend to see that they, when they start learning about the things in the Old Testament, they want to gravitate back to that.
Mm.
And not that it's a bad thing, but you can't go back and forget about that Jesus is the Messiah, and through his blood we're redeemed, and we have forgiveness of sins, and we're set free by his blood. He's purchased us at the price of his own blood. You can't negate that.
Right.
And you can't negate that the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete who intercedes for us on our behalf, and also guides us and leads us in all truth, and sanctifies us.
Exactly.
So you have to keep in mind the whole message of the gospel, of the scriptures, I should say, without going back to one thing or the other. Because if you only go back to part, you only have part. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full, more abundantly, and in him and with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. So I can, you know, it's evident that when Paul's addressing the Galatians and he lays down the firm foundation that is in Christ and in the cross of Jesus Christ, that when they hear something else, they're persuaded by that to kind of waver a little bit and go, oh, well, geez, I didn't know about that. And so this happens in Christianity throughout the ages. I didn't know about that. Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense to me. That really sounds logical. So it must be true. You know, God's truth is eternal, and what we have to stay rooted in is the cross of Jesus Christ. Because
Amen.
Without that, it's the center. It's more than the center. It's the cornerstone. It's the
right.
foundation of everything.
Yeah.
And without that foundation and without Christ as the cornerstone, the whole building is meaningless.
Yes.
The whole structure is meaningless.
Yes, that's an excellent point. And we've talked quite a bit about the rock, about the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not grounded on that rock, and if you're not grounded on that foundation, you'll fall pretty much for anything that comes along.
Yep.
All you need is, you know, I think a few shows ago we talked about this,
mm-hmm.
where Paul was writing to, who was he writing to? But he was talking about how he was all over the place. But, you know, he was talking about, I'm really worried about you people because you don't have a foundation, and you're going to fall for teachers who talk really nice, and they have a nice vocabulary, and they're very smooth, and they're going to come and tell you stuff, and you guys are going to say, oh, yeah, that sounds good, because you're not grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are grounded, and I always like to quote Hank Handegraaff, the Bible Answer Man, he says, you should become so familiar with the truth that when you hear a counterfeit, you immediately recognize it.
Right.
And you say, that's not true.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're proclaiming the truth, people tend not to believe it. But when somebody tells somebody a lie, there's a tendency to go, yeah, oh yeah, it's really amazing how, you know, and this is where, as St. Paul says, we need to put on the mind of Christ.
Yes.
We need to clothe ourselves with Christ so that we are transformed by the love of God into the image and likeness of his Son, but that he renews our mind. You know, because the fact is, before I was a believer, I mean, I believed in Jesus. I believed that he existed, but I didn't have really a close relationship with him or a personal relationship with him.
Right.
I didn't, you know, I knew he died for my sins, but when I had that encounter with him, then everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the encounter with the love of God or the love of the Lord that really has the ability to change our hearts and our minds. But we still have to cooperate with God's grace in all of that,
yes,
because I have to let my old self go.
Yes.
And I have to allow God to renew me.
Yes. You know, as Paul points out, my old self was crucified with Christ.
Yeah.
It's not me who lives anymore.
Right.
And, you know, he commonly talks, well, we're not going to do the whole book of Galatians and Romans, but because I'm sure we've done it already, but he commonly talks about how the flesh has to be crucified,
mm-hmm,
and you have to live in the spirit. And that's
right.
And that's kind of a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
It's not something that happens really quick, and it's not something that happens,
yeah,
you know, the first time somebody prays over you, and it's not something that happens the first time you pick up your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifelong thing, but Paul says, if you walk in the flesh, you'll do flesh stuff.
Yeah.
If you walk in the spirit, you'll do spirit stuff.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is that he tells these people that they have to be grounded in this truth. They have to be grounded in this message, or else they're going to fall for anything that comes along. And some of you guys here in Galatia, you're falling for what these Judaizers are telling you.
Yeah.
And he starts chapter 5, and I mean, we can do all the other chapters because it's an awesome book, but, you know, at the beginning of chapter 5, you notice that if you have it in front of you.
I do.
That, actually, maybe you should just go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Maybe read, I don't know. Start reading.
Just start reading in chapter 5. So, this is Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. For freedom, Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. It is I, Paul, who am telling you that if you have yourselves circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I declare to every man who has himself circumcised that he is bound to observe the entire law. You are separated from Christ. You who are trying to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love.
Hmm.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, let's take a pause there.
I mean, you know, Paul explains it, you know, he points out, rightfully so, because the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles at Pentecost. They were Jews. They were circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Holy Spirit falls upon Cornelius' household. They're Gentiles. Yeah. They weren't circumcised.
What's this world coming to?
Yeah. What's happening here? So Paul clearly sees They were circumcised. They followed the Mosaic law. They received the gift of the Spirit. They weren't circumcised. They're Gentiles. They were considered unclean. They received the same measure of the Spirit just as the circumcised did.
Mm-hmm.
So for what he's saying, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. He's going to present here the most important foundation of Christianity that is essential to the cross and essential to the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and that is love.
Amen. Yeah. And two in that first verse, it's interesting because it says, you know, Christ has set us free. He's brought freedom to us.
Yeah.
He's brought freedom from the bondage to the law that he talks about in Romans and talks about all through Galatians. And you're not supposed to submit back to that. You should be standing in this liberty because you've been freed from the ritual law. And because of what he did on the cross, you're not subject to that ritual law anymore. And you're not subject to the penalties that that brings. And because we talked about in Colossians 2, he talks about how that was nailed. The condemnation due to us was nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
So now if you understand that, but you say, I have to go back to circumcision, then the circumcision, then Christ doesn't avail you anything.
Right.
If you think that you have to do the circumcision now too.
Right.
Because, and it's a matter of, like the writer to the Hebrews says, those things were types and shadows and he is the substance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have the substance, it's interesting to learn about the types and shadows, but you don't say, oh, I have to go back to the types and shadows.
Right. Because of the blood of Messiah is sufficient. He's purchased our, he's purchased us at the price of his own blood. The blood of Messiah pays our debt for us.
Yeah.
And to say that you have to go back to something prior to that is negating what Christ did on the cross.
Yes. And if you go back to the law, you're basically forfeiting what he did for you.
And this is what Paul's saying here.
Yes. Because now he's saying, okay, you've been redeemed by his blood, but now you better go back and do this, mm-hmm. or else maybe you're not redeemed.
Right.
And so you've forfeited your advantage that, well, maybe advantage isn't a good word, but you forfeited
your inheritance.
But your inheritance, what he provided for you. And he points out if you're going to keep circumcision, then you might as well keep the whole law.
Mm-hmm.
then you have to do the whole thing.
Right.
If you're going to insist on this.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is good. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Let God rise. rejoice before him.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So basically what he's saying here is if you think you need to be justified by the law, then grace doesn't really mean very much to you, because now you're shifting away from faith and grace and feeling like, well, if I go back to the Mosaic law, then I can earn my salvation, I can earn his favor, and this is going to estrange you from Christ. It's going to estrange you from grace,
right,
from the simplicity of the gospel. And, you know, in verse 5, he says, you know, we have faith through the Spirit, and he shows us the truth of salvation. So, you know, the Spirit doesn't tell you to go from law to grace and then go back to the law.
Right.
Because that wouldn't make any sense. And
leaves you speechless.
Yeah, it just leaves you speechless. And because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law,
right,
and
exactly,
the end of the law.
Right.
And now we're in the new covenant, which is a covenant of grace. What matters now is that you accept what he did for you.
Yeah.
You repent of what you've done. You follow him. It doesn't mean that the moral law is now obsolete. And it doesn't mean that you can do whatever you feel like doing and live to be 100 and say, oh, well, he's going to take care of it at the end because, you know, it's all
exactly
grace.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's pretty dangerous living. And that's certainly not what Paul is saying. But what he's saying is you don't go back to the Mosaic law and think that you have to keep every letter of the
right
Mosaic law when you've already become a believer.
Right. Now, Paul points this out in Ephesians 4 in verse 17. He says, I declare and testify in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds, darkened in understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance, because of their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have handed themselves over to licentiousness for the practice of every kind of impurity and excess.
Ugh.
That is not how you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard of him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus, that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self created in God's way in righteousness and holiness of truth.
Ooh.
He goes on to say, therefore, putting away falsehood, speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun set on your anger, and do not leave room for the devil. The thief must no longer steal, but rather labor, doing honest work for his own hand, with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with one in need. No foul language should come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for needed edification, that it may impart grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, and rivalry must be removed from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. I mean, this is the renewal of a person's heart, mind, their entire being.
Yes.
And this is, as you said, we're not, you know, Jesus's blood washes us clean, but we're creatures of habit.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes some of those habits get taken away. Sometimes the Lord takes some of those habits away when we encounter him.
Yes.
But most of the times, some of those habits, he leaves there.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my own walk with the Lord, what I've grown to understand is he leaves them there because I have to turn to him in that time of struggle. And I have to turn to him and ask for his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because the old self, he really wants me to die to the old self out of the freedom of my own, out of my own heart and the freedom of my own love for him.
Yes.
And when I do that, then I cooperate with God's mercy.
Absolutely.
Or with his grace.
Yes.
And, you know, is it, am I more righteous because of that? Well, I might be more fruitful because then, because then God can use me in a deeper way because I might be a little bit more compassionate to another person. And that's really what God seeks is that we are, you know, we need to be able to be compassionate to other people so that he can use us in a way where when they see a new believer or a newborn believer or even an old born believer, that they see the love of God mm-hmm. through that person and not the carnality of a human being who isn't practicing what they're preaching.
Yeah.
Because it's hollow.
Yeah, and what you're saying, there's really another, I don't want to get on this again, but this is another way to refute the prosperity gospel. Because, you know, it's not about us. That's an old saying that everybody knows, you know, it's not about us. You know, Jesus wants you to deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to crucify the old self. He wants you to give up the old self. We're not here to make the old self rich or famous or, you know, have your own independent life. That's contrary to what he's saying in the gospel. And so be careful when you listen to these teachers. But, you know, again, this goes along with what we were saying a couple of weeks ago, that you can be influenced by others and you can be led astray by others. And if you don't have a solid foundation, it's easier to be led astray by teachers because, you know, Paul says Satan uses the same seduction that he used on Eve, mm-hmm. on all of us, and he uses the same methods all the time because they work. And here to these Galatians, if you look at verse 7, you know, he says, you were running well, but now you got hindered.
Right.
You know, Paul always talks, compares things to an athletic contest. He goes, you guys accepted the faith that I preached to you. You accepted that Jesus was Messiah and that he was your savior and that he was the only way to heaven. And you started your Christian race and you were doing really well. You started out really well. You know, the first lap around the track, you were doing really well and you kept your eyes on the prize. And now you got hindered by something. Well, the hindrance doesn't come from God.
Right.
And the hindrance isn't coming from Paul. But the hindrance, in fact, Paul says, if I come back and preach a different gospel, just declare me anathema.
Yeah.
Like we said, you know, if I go over and a rock falls on my head and I don't know who I am or what I'm doing and I come and preach a different gospel, say, Paul, you're accursed. Get out of here.
Right.
He says, this is the gospel and the hindrances don't come from God. And the hindrances don't come from the gospel that had been preached to them.
Right.
The hindrances come from outside, and they come from other teachers. They come from some kind of, demonic thing that sidetracks you or puts you in a different frame of thinking where you get away from the simplicity of the gospel, as we talked about last time, and you add a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, Satan wants to trip us up, and usually it's done very subtly. Sometimes it's very obvious, but most of the time it's done very subtly, where we can be led astray by something that appears to be truth, but it's really not. I mean, there's always a element of truth in a lie, and that's the seductive part of it. It's alluring. And Paul is telling us, he's telling the Galatians, he's telling the Ephesians, he's telling all of us, we have to be on guard for that. So, as you were saying in verse 7 there in chapter 5 of Galatians, he says, you were running well. Who hindered you from following the truth? that enticement does not come from the one who called you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. I am confident of you in the Lord that you will not take a different view, and that the one who is troubling you will bear the condemnation, whoever he may be. As for me, brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who were upsetting you might also castrate themselves.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, if you look down to the verse 9 there, you know, he talks about how a little bit of leaven ruins the whole loaf, a little bit of yeast, distraction, a little bit of sin, a little bit of falsehood ruins the whole lump of dough.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a lot.
Nope.
And it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, there was unleavened bread because there wasn't time for the bread to rise. But if you've got a bunch of dough and even a little bit of yeast gets in it, over a short period of time, the dough will start to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And he says you gotta be on guard against this, because leaven in the scripture is always something bad. You know, Jesus says, don't do the leaven of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Pharisees would have hated the word leaven because it was a sign of sin. And what he's saying is, don't do the leaven that they do. So Paul says, you know, a little bit of leaven can spoil your whole belief system.
Yeah.
Before you even realize that it's happening.
Yeah. Now, what's the leaven that will spoil that? You know, we talk about sin.
Yeah.
That's, you know, okay, sin covers many things. Pride, jealousy, bitterness, resentment, all those things can, I mean, a little bit of jealousy from the human heart can destroy a relationship. It can put a hindrance to what God wants to do in a relationship. It can put a hindrance to what God wants to do in, you know, not just one person's life, but maybe a couple people's lives. So jealousy from the human heart is something that has to be really, I think, carefully looked at by every, you know, by anybody who's a believer, not even anybody who's not even a believer. Jealousy from the human heart can do immeasurable amounts of damage to a relationship, to people, because it casts doubt. And from that doubt, it goes to suspicion.
Mm-hmm.
And on and on.
Yes.
And so it only takes a little bit of doubt to try to turn a person's heart away from the truth. And this is what Satan does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's a master at it.
Yes.
Exactly. And this is why when I read from Ephesians that we need to be renewed in Christ. We need to take off the old self, because the old self, our old self, is really carnal.
Mm-hmm.
We're very familiar with the ways of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And what's infiltrated the church is the culture of a political correctness culture.
Yes.
And it's carnal.
Yes.
It's the ways of man. It's not the wisdom of God.
Yes.
That has infiltrated the church.
And that's what makes it easy for people to accept.
Yes.
It fits right into our thinking.
Exactly, because we're comfortable with it. We're familiar with
it.
We go,
oh,
yeah, I recognize that.
If that's what they want to do, you know, that's what they want to do. Exactly.
But he's saying, no, you need to put on, you need to take off the old self.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, and this is what Jesus is saying. Deny yourself, deny your very self, pick up your cross,
mm-hmm,
and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Deny yourself. Deny all that you, and this is, and St. Paul does this beautifully. I consider all things before rubbish compared to the cross of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So St. Paul understood this personally in his own life, and he's exhorting them, take off the old self and put on Christ, because this is the only way that you're going to live for God and live for the gospel.
Yeah. And, well, you know, that's a good point you bring up. You all know his background, but I'm going to go into the whole thing. But in the first chapter of Galatians, he reminds people of his background.
Mm-hmm.
Says, you know, I was more zealous for law than anyone. I was advancing in Judaism more than all the other people there. He didn't say I was, you know, more zealous than, you know, 70% of them, or there were three or four guys who were better than me. He said, I was the best one.
Yeah.
I was the one that was totally devoted to this law. And now I'm telling you that compared to knowing Christ, what I did before was rubbish. And don't fall back into this trap. Don't fall back to a gospel that's diluted by the Mosaic law, because we've been set free from that. We have freedom in Christ. And you know, even Jesus said that who the Son of Man sets free is free indeed.
Yeah.
And we have to keep that in mind, because you'll always have teachers telling you that you're not free. You'll always have teachers telling you, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, but you also have to do these other things, and you also have to believe this other thing, and you can keep adding more and more things to it, and Paul says don't do it.
Right.
Because then you have to go back into a whole nother system, and if you convince yourself, and, you know, we're not going to go into the details of this because it may not mean much to our listeners, but Stephen and I have had a lot of experiences with people who go back to aspects of the law and then say, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense because after all, the scripture tells us that this is what we're supposed to do. So therefore, I'm going to do that. And then that leads to another thing. And then that leads to another thing. Then that leads to another thing. Yeah. And over a period of time, you've got this mixture of Mosaic law and Jesus, and you don't even know, like, what you're doing anymore.
Yeah.
Because then the focus becomes, I have to do the law.
Right. It always goes back to that.
Yes.
It always, no matter how many times you see it, it always goes back to, oh, I got to keep the law here.
Yes. And when Paul talks about, you know, the law leads to bondage and the law leads to condemnation, and the law doesn't give you freedom because it can't change your heart. Like you were just saying, the law can't change your heart. Like grace changes your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Holy Spirit acting on you changes your heart. In Romans 12, Paul says you need a renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't say, well, if you think a little bit about Jesus once in a while, you'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or he doesn't say, maybe, you know, you can add a little bit of this Jesus stuff into your day-to-day life and, you know, everything will go better.
Might make you a better person.
Yeah, it might make you a better person. You'll be happier. You'll get along with your little friends better. No, he says you need a renewal of your mind.
Yeah. Take off the old self.
Take off the old self. The old self has to be crucified.
He doesn't say take off a little bit of the old self. He says take off the old self.
And he always makes the point that the old self, the carnal self, as you rightly said, has to be crucified.
Yeah.
Because we can't destroy our carnal self, because that's our nature.
Yeah. And the reason that the church is not impacting the world in the way that it should is because there's a lot of carnality from people in the church who are acting that way, and they're not acting in accord with the Spirit and the inheritance that they have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. There is not that humility of reverence and awe of what God has done for me.
Mm-hmm.
That I can't pay back that debt.
Mm-hmm.
In a million years, I can never pay back that debt.
That's right.
In a bazillion years, I can never pay that back that debt.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, if I don't have an understanding of what Christ has done for me, then how can I understand the cross? And how can I understand this whole transformation that he wants to do in me so that I am his disciple and that I can bear fruit for the kingdom? 30, 60, 100-fold yield.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God desires.
Yes.
He doesn't care about all this other stuff.
Yeah.
He said this in the Old Testament. Your sacrifices are worthless to me because I desire mercy, not sacrifice.
Yes.
So when St. Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, he says, "For you were called for freedom, brothers, but do not use this freedom for an opportunity for the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's an excellent point. I mean, he says, the liberty, the freedom that we have is not a license to do whatever you want.
Right.
It's not a license to do whatever you want. You should love one another, serve one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's no law against love, as you like to quote. There's no law against love.
Yeah.
Oh, there's music already.
Yeah, because Christ fulfilled the law
Amen.
Out of love for us.
Amen. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him, Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne? Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Yeah, it's awesome. So before we get to this thing about the conflicts, which unfortunately we've all had a lot of experiences with.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But it's, you know, he talks about how love is basically the center of the law. He says there's not a law, you know, there's 613 laws. There's a law about everything. But
right.
There's no law against love. Nowhere in the law does it say, oh, you're not allowed to love anybody, or you're not allowed to love that person, or whatever you do, don't love anybody. I mean, there's no law against love. You're even supposed to love your enemies. But anyway, long story short is love fulfills all the law because the law is given in love. The remedy to us not being able to follow the law because of our nature is given in love. And love is the center of it all. So basically what Paul's saying is walk in the spirit. Don't give up. Don't give in to the lusts of the flesh. Don't get into the conflict between the spirit and the flesh. It's not unavoidable that that's going to happen, But if you love each other and you're truly committed to following the Lord, don't have conflicts among yourselves. Now, that's a good one, because that, of course, is, that's been going on. That's been going on probably even when Jesus was sitting with those 12 guys, and they probably started, you know.
Well, when the sons of Zebedee said,
"Can I sit
said,
on your right and
yeah,
on your
just
left?"
Just thinking of that. Yep.
You know, can I, you know, hey, look at what we did. But mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of stuff started. Then you had Paul didn't like Mark.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark wrote a gospel, for crying out loud, but Paul didn't like him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't like everybody that you work with. It's
right.
impossible. So even Barnabas, who was Paul's right-hand man and was his best friend, he also happened to be Mark's cousin, but so he had a little bit of a prejudice, said, "Hey, we got to take Mark on this trip." And Paul says, "Hey, I'm not taking Mark.
Yeah.
I don't like him. And he deserted me, and I'm not going to deal with that." And Barnabas says, "Oh, no, we got to take him." And Paul basically says, "Well, you like him so much, you take him." So Barnabas and Mark went off, and Paul and Barnabas never worked together again.
Yeah.
Later, they were reconciled, and
right.
Paul talks about how he's with Mark. But it's the idea that these guys were human beings just like we are.
Right.
And like I always say to, and Steve's probably heard me say this, but, you know, when I'm teaching a Bible study group of, you know, 15, 20, 30 people, I always say, if the whole group of us had to stay in this room for one whole week, we weren't allowed to leave, how long would it take until there would be conflicts? Not very long. Because the guy over there starts getting on your nerves. And then you say to the guy next to you, "Man, I'm sick of that guy. He's getting on my nerves." And he says, "Yeah, he's on my nerves too." And then, you know, and the next thing you know, you got factions.
Yeah.
This is why it was so amazing that 120 people in the upper room were praying in one accord.
Well, that's the reason why they, because they were in prayer.
Yes.
They were in prayer. And, it's, you know, examining the love that Christ has for us and the cross, you know, if we just stay on the surface level of the cross and, it, you know, Jesus purchased us at the price of his own blood, but it's even more than that, because he says, you know, there's no greater love than to lay your life down for your friend. But scripture also tells us that Christ died for us while we were still at odds with him, while we were still sinners, because we are.
Yeah, exactly.
So how much love do you have to lay yourself, your life down for somebody who's against you?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Christ is the great high priest.
Exactly.
Because he sets, not just that he sets the example, he is the sacrifice once for all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if I am trying to live the Christian life out of the carnality of my own human existence and my own human heart, I'm going to fail miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have that capacity of love unless my heart is renewed by God and he gives me the grace to do it.
Yeah.
Because at every turn, if I ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to me. If I ask him for the grace to be more compassionate or more forgiving, he's going to give it to me.
Yeah.
And so this is the dying of self that Paul is talking about, that is not taught in the churches today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason that the churches are in the shape that they're in. It doesn't matter what denomination you're in.
That's right.
Okay, because everybody wants to take hold of, they have the truth. Nobody talks about dying to oneself.
Yeah.
Everybody wants the big collection plate.
Mm-hmm.
But what do they do with it?
Hmm.
Do they build a bigger church? Does the pastor get a bigger car? You know? Jesus didn't own anything. If you want to be his disciple, deny your very self, pick up your cross and follow him. Deny yourself of all your possessions.
Mm.
You know, I hear people go, I don't want to give up all this comfort.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus died. Yeah, I mean, it's a hard thing for people to come to.
Yeah.
And I understand that. But you have to understand the gravity of what he's done for you.
Yes. We don't want to go to church if it's raining. Or we don't want to go, or we complain about how far we had to park from the door.
If the, you know, if it's not 71 degrees in the building and it's, yeah. and it's not humidity control, it's like, oh my gosh, come on.
This is unbearable.
You know, humidity is at 51%. This is, we want perfection.
Yeah.
And at the crucifixion, Jesus wasn't thinking about that.
No.
He was, probably he was thinking about the people he was going to redeem.
Yeah.
And the love that he had for them in their heart. So this is why it is so important that, you know, Jesus says that, you know, if you love your neighbor, or if you like people, you know, if you love people that are just like you, what credit is that to you?
Yeah, exactly.
Even sinners do the same.
Yeah.
It's a tall order. It's a tall order. And this is why in our own human flesh, we can't do it. We have to be renewed and we have to allow the Holy Spirit to renew us. And if people try to squash the Holy Spirit, what they're doing is they're squashing God's ability to transform hearts and to transform minds without even understanding what they're doing.
Yeah.
And this is why the Holy Spirit is so important, so vital to the life of the church.
Yes. And the fact that he points out about the conflicts, the conflicts will devour you.
Yeah.
Is that music already?
It is.
I can't believe the show's over.
Wow.
We have to finish this up next week. We didn't get to the main point we were going to do.
No, we didn't.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would take off the old self and ask God for the grace to be made new by the blood of Jesus Christ and the love of Jesus Christ that transforms hearts, minds, and souls. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.